This is the Relevant Life Church podcast, where we are about connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching our world. Tune in as our church goes through this week's teaching in God's Word.
God bless you. You may be seated today. Welcome to Relevant Life Church. Welcome online. I don't know if you noticed my stylish wife or not. You're going to have to look. She's got white shoes now, like everyone has white shoes. And she looked pretty cool up here. I'll say hot. Okay, I can say that because she's my wife. Welcome. You look really hot today, too. Just saying. Those of you that are at home, I can't say. Hopefully you got clothes on. That's all I have to say. Anyway, enough said, right? I'm glad you're here today. I love church, and I love being in the house of God with you. Amen? Isn't it great to be able to come, even though we're social distanced, even though we have to wear those God-awful masks and all that sort of stuff? We're present, and that's what's important. And on top of all that, what's even more important is that God says where two or three are present, He's there. And so He's right in the very center of all of us, and He heard all of our praises and all of our requests, and He's here to come and to minister to you, and hopefully you've already sensed His presence. Amen? Before we step into our message today, I want to give a shout-out to 2020. We've not done a lot of shout-outs to 2020, but I want to shout-out to 2020. Everybody say 2020! You know, we had an amazing year in a lot of ways. You know, in our comfort levels, there was a lot of things that pinched on us. But, you know, in the middle of 2020, we had an amazing year. And our finances were an amazing result of God's grace and mercy and your faithfulness and your generosity. And so I want to give you a couple shout-outs of numbers. We're going to break down this later at our business meeting. But I wanted you to see where we ended in 2020. Total income of $646,887 in the middle of COVID. Can I tell you what's exciting about that is that it's $21,000 increase over 2019. You know, we stepped into 2020 going, it's going to be our best year. And it was. It was. You know, I mean, in a lot of ways it was. And when you think about that income and what we've accomplished in 2020, 40-some thousand dollars into live stream and new sound equipment at this campus alone, can I tell you, that's victorious. God was in the middle of all those things, and before we even asked, He responded. You know, and what an amazing time for that to happen. Our total missions giving for 2020 was $102,000, right? Amen. Isn't that awesome? Come on. Yeah. You know, we're just wanting to climb. We want to keep giving. We want to keep reaching our world, connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching our world. Everybody say, reaching our world. Can I tell you, your faithfulness and your giving every single week, your faithfulness in giving to missions helps us accomplish connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching our world. And we just encourage you to keep on giving. I just want to shout out also, let you know, our monthly budget of what we're looking for 2021 is like $48,000 a month. So as you continue to give and as you're faithful to give, we're going to make that. I'll say, I don't want to bring negative, but January usually is a slump month. So please, would you make sure you're faithful in the middle of January? We don't want to end up in the slump at the end of January, just having to recover that all year long. But God's victorious. Amen? Come on, let's give Him one more round of applause, shall we? Amen. Amen. 2021, our anchored series. We are anchored. Say, I'm anchored in Jesus. I'm anchored in Jesus. I hope that you are doing so, that you are taking those appropriate steps. And as we continue on in the series, we want to kind of look back a little bit. Last week, I made a statement that life is filled with storms that toss and turn our lives. They bring shifting and changing. The waves of life are relentless. How many have felt that? That it's just like, come on, can you stop the waves? Can we just have calm and peace? The waves grow bigger, they grow stronger, they grow faster. Is there anything or anyone you can hold on to? And the question that we came last week with is, are you anchored? Who are you anchored to? What is your anchor? When we talk about an anchor, we're talking about this amazing metal symbolic thing that is useful, is powerful if you're in the water and you need to stabilize yourself. But I love the symbolism of what this anchor is, and we're going to look a little bit more at that today. When we talk about this idea of an anchor, it's a heavy object attached to a rope or to a chain. Can I tell you that your anchor is only as good as what it's connected to? Your anchor is only as good as the links that are connected to that. If your links are faulty, it doesn't matter if you throw the anchor overboard if you have nothing to tie to, right? So it's important that our links are so this heavy object attached to a rope or to a chain used to stabilize a vessel. As a verb, it means to secure firmly in position. So when we think of ourselves practically or spiritually, how many know that we need some stability in our lives? And after 2020, after the storms of life, maybe you've been feeling the storms of life even prior to 2020. I'll say if you're human today, you probably have felt storms in life. Whether that's a family situation, whether that's unwanted sickness in your home, whether that's an unwanted divorce or a break in your household, whatever that might be, can I tell you storms are inevitable? And we looked at that last week. The reason that you and I need an anchor in our lives is that storms are going to come. Storms are inevitable. Storms don't come with a forewarning in the spiritual life. They just show up. How many have realized that? And either you're prepared or you're not. Either you're anchored or you're scrambling to find the anchor. Not only are storms going to come, but we have a tendency to drift. When times are good, we have a tendency to just float with the current. And there's an undercurrent in our lives, and it's called sin. We all suffer from it. Amen? And this reality, and we've got to confront that reality, and we have to come back and go, no, I need to anchor myself in spite of myself. And lastly, we looked last week that it was important for us to realize that even when God is silent, he's still in control. And I can say that in many of our lives, we've experienced these three things in 2020. I will say this, probably in 2021, you're going to experience these things again. Can I tell you, they may not be labeled COVID. They may be labeled something different. And for us to think that we can get beyond 2020 and beyond a pandemic and life is going to be normal again, can I tell you that normal life prior to pandemic was stormy? For some reason, we've glamorized pre-pandemic rather than realizing, no, this is life. This is life. And the importance of being anchored to something so much more secure. Today, I want to talk about this thing called hope. Everybody say hope. Hope. And my title and my message today is Hope Floats. Hope Floats. Life can feel hopeless. 2020 and 2021, people have struggled with this idea of hopelessness. Today I want to speak to this aspect of hope when it feels hopeless. How many can be honest to say that there's been seasons in your life, even over this last year, that you have felt a sense of hopelessness? Come on, lift your hands high. Hopelessness, going, God, is there? I know your hope, but God, I just don't feel hope right now. I came across a story this week. A United States submarine was coming back from World War II when something went terribly wrong and it sunk to the bottom of the ocean. Anybody want to be in that submarine? Although it hadn't been touched during the war, it sunk in the Virginia Harbor just as it returned. The Coast Guard dispatched the divers to the submarine to figure out what went wrong. And when they arrived, they heard a sailor tapping these words in Morse code on the inside of the subwall. Is there hope? Is there hope? I don't know about you, but I can tell you that there's been times in the middle of COVID I've been going, is there hope? Is there hope? When I began to look for a circumstance for hope, can I tell you that God doesn't want us to look to circumstances? It feels like he's pulling the carpet of circumstances out of our lives. Why? Because he wants us to look to him. And that's our goal today as we step into this. Is there hope? Many are struggling with this sense of hopelessness. What if this never changes? What if we stay in this nightmare, this twilight zone of 2020, right? Of going, can this really be happening? I think of a song, I'm dating myself, and some of you that are old like me are going to understand. If I'm going to say a show name that many of you are going to be like going, who, but the show Hee Haw. And I don't know, can anybody identify with the show Hee Haw? On there, Buck Owens would sing a song, what? Gloom, despair, and it goes on and says, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Can I tell you that that's what it's felt like in 2020 sometimes, right? Anybody feel like that? If it wasn't for bad luck, I would have no luck at all. If it was not for these bad circumstances, life would just not be. Proverbs 13:12 responds to this idea, and it's a passage of scripture that I want to kind of just launch today off with. It says, hope deferred, hope that is at a distance, hope that cannot be recognized, hope that seems to be absent, hope that is gone, makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope that seems to be gone, hope that seems to be absent, makes your heart sick. When we talk about this idea of sickness, it brings disappointment. When we think of heart sickness, today in America, there is a lot of heart sickness. I'm not talking about like heart disease, physical heart disease. I'm talking about the heart sickness that Proverbs is talking to us about. It's called anxiety. It's called depression. It's called discouragement. It's called feeling overwhelmed. It's called feeling hopeless. Can I tell you today, when Solomon is writing this passage of scripture, he's going, no, these are circumstances that are going to create sickness. It's biblical that deferred hope makes you feel sick. Recent stats from our CDC, I'm going to show you here in just a second. I went to a doctor's appointment this week just because I needed to get a prescription refilled, and I avoid the doctor as much as I possibly can. Anybody avoid the doctor? And I had to go because they're going, no, we can't refill your prescription unless you come in and get your blood pressure taken and have an eye-to-eye visit, you know. And I go into the clinic, and I'm like going, there's all these sick people around here. I'm healthy. I don't want to be here. And I go in and chat with the doctor, but before I get in there, there is a chart or a form, a survey that every person is having to fill out as before they go in to go, where are you at mentally, emotionally? Where are you at? Are you thinking these things? Do you feel anxious? Do you feel depressed? And I want to go, duh, doesn't everybody in America today? And then they get a little bit further into it. But CDC reporting, as we go ahead and go to that slide there, if you would. During late June, 40% of U.S. adults reported struggling with mental health or substance abuse. When we look at the stats from 2019, a really positive year, to 2020, can I tell you that it jumped in points? That a normal life, people that were not declaring these feelings in 2020, June of 2020, in the middle of pandemic, they're feeling these things. And it goes on, it says that 31% are saying that they're experiencing anxiety and depression symptoms. 26% are experiencing trauma or stress-related disorder symptoms. 13% started on or increased substance usage. Seriously considered suicide, 11%. Now, if you look at the studies, I didn't have another chart, but the studies as you progress through 2020 into 2021, current studies, if you're interested, go look at cdc.gov, and you can pull these up. But you'll see the state of where we are mentally and emotionally in America today. 54% of people polled are struggling with some form of mental health challenge. As you come to the end of 2020, 54% of people that are polled are struggling with some form, one of these or something different. Can I tell you what's happened is hope is absent. Hopelessness has set in. A statistic that I thought was fascinating that you would want to know is that Oregon has ranked as number 3 in the nation. We're living in the hot pot, this hot seat. Can I tell you that God is a God of hope, and God can heal the sick heart. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I ask you today, where's hope for 2021? Rather than where is hope, I want to say, who is hope in 2021? Can I tell you today that when we think of hope, we oftentimes think of circumstances, and regardless of what circumstances look like, there is someone who is hope. When I talk about Hope Floats today, I'm not talking about a movie that was made several years ago that is a depressing, sad movie, if you've ever watched it. Today, I want Hope Float to make you understand that there's something that hope is buoyant. This concept of, even though in our passage of scripture that we're going to look at today, one that we looked last week, even though our hope is an anchor that holds us stable, I want to also bring a different picture of the importance of hope being something that is buoyant in our lives. That if we get disconnected from the anchor for some reason, there is hope that lifts us above the circumstances. That even in the middle of circumstances, that even in the middle of a process of our lives, of even if you're connected, in that there is hope that lifts us above all of these things, the weightiness of life. And so as we think about this concept today, I want us to go back to our passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 6. If you are looking on your phone, looking in your Bible, flip there to Hebrews chapter 6, and we want to look at this 7 verses that we looked at last week. Verse 13 says that God himself made a promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying that I will surely bless you and I will give you many descendants. And Abraham, after waiting so long, after waiting patiently, after, if you were to switch that word waiting, after hoping patiently, not just waiting, not just enduring, but there was an expectation, there was a hope, hoping expectantly, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature, everybody say unchanging. Can I tell you that our God that we serve today is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen? Yesterday, today, and forever, the present circumstance, we look back and go, God is an amazing God. God did amazing miracles. Can I tell you that same God that did all those things is the God today in the middle of your circumstance? He can do that amazing miracle today. His unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which is impossible for God to lie, that we who have fled to take hold of the anchor, the hold of the hope, everybody say hope, set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope, everybody say hope, as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I love the translation, the Amplified version. It comes and says this, this hope, this confident assurance we have as an anchor of the soul. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. Can I tell you, when we talk about this hope today, that regardless of COVID weight, regardless of circumstance weight, this anchor, this hope cannot break down, cannot be made insecure. It's a safe and a steadfast hope. Many times we think that God's steadfastness is dependent upon our steadfastness. Can I tell you today, I am so thankful that God is not based upon my steadfastness. Amen? How many can say, God, you're steadfast, even in the middle of circumstances when I'm not steadfast? I love the Message paraphrase. It says this, we who have run for our very lives to God, my challenge to you in 2021, would you run for your very life to God? Would you run as if you're being pursued by death and enemy? Because I can tell you this, you are. You need to run to God for your very life. And you have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and to never let go. Can I tell you today, we've got to come, we've got to grab with both hands to hope. We're not just lightly hanging on, nonchalant. Can I tell you that that's what life is? We just kind of nonchalantly live our life, and God's going, no, I want you to grab on to hope. I want you to cling to hope. It goes on and says, an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. Reaching past all appearances, right to the very presence of God. I love that phrase, past every appearances. Can I tell you that I've swayed by appearances at times? Anybody swayed by appearances? Anybody swayed by your emotions? Anybody swayed by a circumstance? Anybody swayed by what looks to be a bad thing? Can I tell you that as Eugene Peterson so eloquently rephrased this, paraphrased, he says, reaching past all appearances, right into the very presence of God. Regardless of what it looks like, reach to the presence of God. Cling with both hands to the hope that is there before us. This word hope, as a noun, is an optimistic state of mind. It's based on expectation of positive outcomes. An expectation of positive outcomes. As a verb, it means to expect with confidence, to wait for it, expecting. It's an action. It's an action step. It's not just something to go, okay, well, I hope in this inanimate object. No, there's an expectation that inanimate object is going to do something. In this case, God's not an inanimate object. In this case, he's the God of all gods. He's the living being that created all things. He is the God of the storm. This word expectation is a strong belief. Can I tell you, in the middle of 2020, we've lost hope and we've lost belief. We've lost belief in our government. We've lost belief in how things take place. We've lost belief in our culture. We've lost belief in what society should look like. We've lost belief in humanity. What's happened to the goodwill of mankind? But today, I want us to cling back to not the circumstances and not to appearance. I want us to cling to this hope with expectation, who is Jesus Christ. I want us to come with a strong belief to go, no, I believe. I'm not just speaking words, but I truly come to a place of I believe in the middle of the shaking. Why is hope so important? Why is hope so important? Why has 2020 been so miserable? Because I can tell you this, without hope, present circumstances seem completely unbearable. Present circumstances seem beyond control. We're looking for a glimmer of hope. Why is it that in the CDC stats that we see people have turned back to drugs and alcohol, turned back to old patterns of life? Why? Because they're trying to find some sense to numb the pain in their lives. I want you to hear this morning, because some of us can be naturally pessimistic and some of us can be naturally optimistic. I want to come today and I want to challenge the thought today. I love that you're optimistic, but can I tell you today, when we talk about hope, we're not talking about mental optimism. We're not just talking about a positive way of thinking. We're not talking about a pie in the sky. Can I tell you, when we're talking about hope, we're talking about a real tangible thing in a real tangible circumstance. It's not just going, oh, I'm burying my head. Hope, I'm going to say, is holy optimism. Hope is holy optimism in the sense of being able to see what's really taking place and experience the reality of life and be moved with compassion in life, but yet see God as in control. Having an expectation of who he is. Can I tell you today, we don't put hope in hope itself. We put hope in Christ. Today I want to look into an Old Testament scripture. Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, if you want to turn there, it's the book previous to the last book in the Old Testament. Go to the last book and go back one, okay? Zechariah chapter 9. Passage of scripture that I discovered this week in the Old Testament, a scripture that just stood out and grabbed hold of me. And I debated whether I had to preach this one or not, and finally I said I just need to submit to the scripture and preach the scripture. Zechariah is an amazing book in the Bible. It's one of the minor prophets. Zechariah is a priest. His heritage is from the priesthood, and so his father and his grandfather were priests, and Zechariah, therefore, is a priest. But not only is he a priest, he is a prophet. When you look at the book of Zechariah, you can find a lot of hope throughout this book. Zechariah is the book that has the most messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, meaning that it's the book that points most to Jesus out of all prophets. So there's a lot of hope. How many know there's hope in Jesus, right? So Zechariah comes and he's bringing hope in this passage of scripture, and he's talking about all the different situations. And chapters 1 through 8 are current prophetic circumstances, and chapters 9 through the end of the book are messianic prophecies. And so we're going to be in chapter 9 and we're going to be looking at some of this messianic promise. For you to understand and grasp this, Zechariah actually means Yahweh remembers. Yahweh remembers. Everybody say that. Yahweh remembers. I want you to grasp this. I'm giving you this foundation because it's so important for us to understand. The Israelites have been held captive for 70 years in Babylon. 70 years. We're not talking 8 months. with COVID. We're talking 70 years. They've been uprooted from their town. They've been uprooted from their country. And they've been hauled off to another country. And they've been subjected to their practices and to their belief systems. Talk about religious pressure. Zechariah is back now in Jerusalem, and he's prophesying to generations that had never experienced Jerusalem. 70 years. Think about how many generations had heard about Jerusalem but never encountered Jerusalem. How many men and women are still held captive in Babylon before they've been brought to freedom in Jerusalem? 70 years. Zechariah is coming. He's going, I want you to know that Yahweh remembers. Yahweh sees. Yahweh, the God who understands, is present. Zechariah chapter 9, if you want to turn there, verse 12, one verse today that I want to look at. Return to your fortress, he says, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Would you read this short little verse with me this morning? Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Today I want you to feel a restoration of your hope. My sermon in a sentence is this: hope is the place of your restoration. You may be feeling depleted today at the end of 2020. You may be fearful of 2021, but I want to declare to you today that hope is the point, the place of your restoration. The beginning of your restoration, this moment that God wants to do something great in your life. God's hope floats. God's hope floats. When we want to sink, God's going, no, I'm bringing hope, and you will rise above the circumstance. That's why we have to realize that it's tangible. That's why the author in these passages of Scripture says, cling to hope. Don't let go of hope. We know the result that hope deferred makes you sick. Anybody tired of being sick? Anybody tired of being depressed or anxious? Anybody tired of wondering? Can I tell you, hope, cling to hope. Today, point number one, hope floats. Become a prisoner of hope. Everybody say, become a prisoner of hope. I found this quote this week. It says, hope is revolutionary. It is a powerful presence that breaks in from the future and transforms today. I want you to think of this concept today. Hope is revolutionary. It's something that breaks in from the future. Our future hope in eternity, our future that God wins, that God is winning. Anybody look at the end of the book? Can I tell you today, in the middle of your present circumstance, it may not seem like things are going well, but the end of the book has already been written. The end of the story, if you are a follower of Christ, we win regardless of. If you could measure your level of hope today on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put yourself? 1 being hopeless, 10 being hopeful. Would you honestly assess yourself? Would you honestly come to a place of assessing yourself? Don't just give a Bible answer. Don't just give a faith-filled answer. Where are you at? Because remember that hope faces reality. Hope is not just a blind optimism. Hope is not just wishful thinking. Hope has to come into the place of going, no, this is my reality, and therefore, I cling to hope. Where are you at in your hope scale? Are you on the verge of letting go, or are you overcoming? When we let go of hope and we become like this ship that the anchor has been cut away, hopelessness makes us feel helpless. Hopelessness makes us feel helpless. Anybody feel helpless sometimes? You look at the situations, I hear teachers all the time talk about their students and they're going, I feel so helpless. I feel like I can't help them. Can I tell you, there's hope in there someplace. We've got to find the hope. A prisoner is bound to something. A prisoner is held captive by something. When I think of an idea of being a prisoner, I don't find a positive connotation to that. When I think of prisoner, I think of POWs, prisoners of war. Zechariah is saying, I don't want you to be a prisoner of war. I want you to be a POH, a prisoner of hope. Can I tell you today that too long have we been prisoners of war? We're prisoners of our culture. We're allowing these things to bring PTSD into our lives and to bring torment into our lives rather than going, no, I am a POH. I'm a prisoner of hope. Jim Stockdale. There's actual a Stockdale paradox that has been written as a result of him. Jim Stockdale was an American vice admiral captured and imprisoned during the Vietnam War. He was held and tortured for 7 years. Stockdale said the first people to die in captivity were the optimists, who kept thinking that things would get better quickly and they'd be released by Christmas. They're the ones that died of a broken heart. Instead, Stockdale argued, the key to survival was to contribute or to combine realism and hope. In Stockdale's own words, he says this, "You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end with the discipline to confront the brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be." Can I remind you today that hope is not just this blissful ignorance. There really is a reality that comes in to go, no, the reality of my circumstance is rough, but I'm clinging to the one who can conquer my circumstance. It's not just positive thinking, although that's powerful. Zechariah 9:12 says this, "You prisoners of hope." He declares, he's pointing to the Israelites, to the culture, and he's going, you've been identified, you've been convinced that you're a prisoner of war. You've taken on this syndrome in your life and you're behaving as a prisoner of war. You're beat down, you're helpless, you're hopeless. There's nothing that determines your future is, there's nothing there. And he's coming going, I want to change, I want to reframe your circumstance. I want to reframe your thinking. I want you to realize you are a prisoner of hope. There's hope. Zechariah is prophesying in the midst of this very gloomy time. Many prophets had come and gone. Probably a book that you could look to would be Haggai to see the similarity of the process of how these stories are playing out. And you're going to see the prophetic words that are going to play. And Zechariah is known kind of as a smaller book of Isaiah. That Isaiah comes and brings positive and he brings reality. Zechariah is saying, become a prisoner of hope. Don't be held captive by your circumstances. Don't be held captive by your circumstances. Don't be imprisoned by your circumstances. Don't be imprisoned by the reality of life today. Be imprisoned by hope because God is present. Amen. Remember, the hope of this anchor is our faith. To our faith. Without faith, how many know that we cannot please God? Faith and hope are connected. There's got to be an expectation. There's got to be this faith to please God, but there's got to be a hope that God's going to show up. Don't let go of your faith, because when you let go of your faith, you're going to let go of your hope, and when you vice versa. Everything's going to crash. You let go of hope and your faith is going to come pummeling down. Number two, hope floats. At the very first part of this passage of scripture, Zechariah says, return to hope. Return to your fortress. Return to hope. Everyone say, return to hope. I don't know where you've been. I don't know where you need to return from. I believe that every person in this room needs to refocus. We need to return back to something. I love this mental picture that is here. Zechariah says, return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Can I tell you today that hope is a fortress? Hope is a place of stability. This word fortress is a military stronghold, a strongly fortified town, a place of protection and safety. Zechariah, in practicality, is going, come back to Jerusalem. In the physical, come back to Jerusalem. Come back to this stronghold. Come back to this place of safety. But as you look at all the theologians and they begin to talk through this passage of scripture, he's not just talking about a city. He truly is talking about God himself. He's saying, come back to your fortress. Come back to this strength. Come back to this stability. Come back to where you find protection. This word return is from the Hebrew word, is the word shuv. It's actually spelled S-H-W-B, but it's pronounced with a V at the end, which means to retreat to lodge, to recall to your mind. So Zechariah is saying, yes, physically return to Jerusalem. But how many know that we're not physically returning to heaven? to recall in your mind, to think back over, to find refreshing and relief. Return to God, return to hope, return to this fortress that brings relief in your life, that brings restoration in your life. You will find reward in this place of returning. Zechariah is calling us to return to the stability and the refuge of a fortress. All throughout the Old Testament, primarily in the Psalms, we see God himself referred to as a refuge. Psalms 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." You know, the psalmist is not coming and going, "Oh, I'm already delivered." No, he's going, "I'm coming and I'm going to stand upon the rock. I'm going to stand upon my fortress and he will deliver me. He is going to lift me out of this. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, in whom I am covered by, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Psalm 46, 1 through 3 says this, "God is our refuge and God is our strength. He's a very present help in the time of trouble." He's the very present help in the time of circumstances that make you feel hopeless. "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains should slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling, pride." And then it says Selah. The word Selah means to pause, to stop, to think about it. Would you just pause and stop and think about this? Would you just go... Can I tell you that when we're reading scripture, when we're reading in Psalms, when the psalmist says Selah, it means to stop and to just take a deep breath, to ponder, to think about it. He says, go back and look at it again, that the God is our refuge and my strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Even though all these things happen, God will not move. Pause and think about it. Can I tell you that that may be, this idea of repetition is so important in our lives? How many times do you have to repeat to yourself to reframe your thinking? Can I tell you, it's easy to entertain all the things that are rattling around in your head and the gloom and the pessimism or what's going wrong. Some of us have to practice more than others of God is my refuge and my strength. He's a very present help at this very moment. I need to pause and think about that for a second. God is a very present help in times of like this. I have to pause and think about it. We have to retrain our thinking. Number three, hope floats. Be restored by hope. Today, I want to leave you with this concept, that not only is hope, are we prisoners of hope, but we're to return back to the fortress. And in that process, restoration comes as a result of hope. You want restoration in your life? You angry? Are you angry at what the enemy has tried to steal from you? Are you angry at the circumstances that are surrounding you? Can I tell you today that God doesn't want you to be angry at a circumstance. He wants you to run to him that he can restore to you. There's been seasons in my life. There's been seasons even over this last few months that the joy of my salvation has been absent. I'm going to be that transparent and tell you that. That I just had to hunker down. I've had to just put my shoulder against the wall. And I've had to go, God, would you restore the joy of my salvation? God, would you help me to realize what I am saved from? God, would you help me realize what I'm saved to? God, restore the joy of my salvation. I don't know today if any of you are experiencing absence of joy in your salvation, if it's more of a burden to serve God than it is a pleasure to serve God. Zechariah 9:12 says this, "Even now I announce." Remember, this is prophetic. Yeah, this is God himself, Jesus himself, a messianic prophecy. He says, "Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you." The word restore is to make as good as new. The same word that is found here is a word that's found in Psalms 23:1-3. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Will you do me a favor right now? I think so often with this verse of scripture, we can quote it and we go, no, I got it. Would you just close your eyes? Everyone just close your eyes. Would you begin to imagine a beautiful green meadow? We don't want to imagine that we're sheep, but that's what we're related to. Imagine that you're out there in this green meadow and it's filled with peace and it's filled with pleasant things. You hear the burbling brook and the breeze that's flowing. Keep your eyes closed as I read this. Would you imagine this passage of scripture with me? It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's nothing that I can desire because he's providing everything. He makes me to lie down in these green pastures. He causes me to rest. He leads me beside the still waters. He brings restoration to my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I don't know about you, but that's a process that we just need to step into. That's a moment of meditation on God's word. We're not doing any weird stuff. We're just coming back and going, no, God, that's imagery. That's realizing who he is in our lives, taking a deep breath in his presence. You know, the thing that's fascinating to me, not only is it in that passage of scripture, but at the end, we see this word restore. It's the exact same word as return. So all those adjectives, when we think of return and we see all these adjectives, go ahead and go to that next slide, and we see it's to retreat to lodge in. No, one more right there. To recall to your mind, to find refreshing and relief, to return, to find reward. He starts it off with return and he starts it off with restore, and they're the same words. Can I tell you today that when not only is he, this writer, intentional with his words, using them double, but he's making a declaration that what was taken from you will be returned double to you. I don't know about you, but I love the idea of double being returned. I love the fact that I can start off this message declaring God's faithfulness in our finances in 2020. In the midst of circumstances that seemed hopeless, in the midst of circumstances that honestly, some of our months fell short, and we begin to wonder, what are we going to do? Can I tell you, God himself was already in preparation. The God of hope already has begun to restore to us what the enemy has tried to steal from us. What is it that you need restored in your life? I want to just read a few phrases that I wrote down here real quickly. Hope doubler restores us. And how does that happen? It's going to restore our hope, and restored hope moves us forward. Christian hope is a realistic expectation and a joyful longing for future good and glory based upon the reliable word of God. If you want these, I'll send these to you. Hope deletes regrets and underlines expectation. I wrote these for myself today. I want to share them with you because I need to cling to hope. Restored hope energizes the present. It is worth living today because of the eternal hope that is so much brighter than today. If you can't live for today, if you can't live for tomorrow, would you live for eternity? Would you set your things, our eyesight on things that are above, not this earthly stuff that's going to fall apart anyway? Restored hope lightens our darkness. Hope does not deny nor remove the reality of dark and the painful circumstances, but it shines as a bright light at the end of the tunnel. Can I tell you, today, I see a glimmer of light. Do you see the light? If you don't, would you look a little harder? Restored hope increases faith. Faith fuels hope, but hope also fuels faith. Without faith, we cannot soar in hope, but without hope, faith will limp home. And I believe, I sense in my spirit as I've watched our culture and watched our church, there are a lot of people that are limping in their faith because they've lost hope. Restored hope is infectious. Just as we can drag others down by our hopelessness, can I tell you that you can inspire and motivate others with your hope? I can't give hope if I don't have hope. Can I tell you today, you can't give hope if you don't have hope. You can quote all the Bible verses you want to. You can try to come with all the realities that you have, that you know by faith that are there. But can I tell you, there's something supernatural when you step into hope and you talk to someone out of hope, not just out of words. Do you know what I'm talking about? The difference? You hear their hope and you're going, I'm clinging to that. Restored hope brings healing. A sick heart is depression and a sense of hopelessness, but hope heals the sick heart. Restored hope is practical. Hope does not mean that we just sit and wait for utopia to appear. Can I tell you that your hope is practical? Your hope should bring action to your life. Hope motivates us to action. When we hope for a better marriage, we're going to be involved in our marriage in a different way. When we're hoping for a better church, we're going to step in and we're going to serve into our church. When we're hoping for a conversion of a non-believer, we're going to step in and we're going to share the gospel with them. Lastly, hope, restored hope stabilizes in the storm. In my preparation this week, I was reading about history. It says that there are 66 drawings of anchors in the catacombs. Some of you may not know what the catacombs are, but they're the caves that are underneath the city of Rome. And it's where the Christians ran in order to live. They were being persecuted. They were being hunted down. And they ran to the catacombs. And it says that this anchor was drawn 66 times throughout the caves. Why? Because anchor was a symbolism of hope. Everyone that saw it knew they look up to realize that there was something that was taking place. Zechariah 9:12. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope, you POHs. Let it identify you. Let it penetrate your heart. Let it penetrate your spirit today. Don't be a victim of. Be an overcomer of. I will restore twice as much to you. How do we end this today? We look forward with expectation. We're returning to this refuge and this fortress for security. Our identity has been stated. I'm a prisoner of hope. I'm held captive by hope. What are you hoping for? What are you living for? Expectation that what has been taken is going to be returned. Not just what has been taken, but double what has been taken. Can I tell you today what an amazing opportunity this is? I want to ask you today, would you close your eyes? Would you ask yourself today, are you a prisoner of hope or are you a prisoner of war? I completely understand that these last few months have been excruciating in many, many ways. No one looking around, your heads bowed today. I want to pray for you today. And if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Kevin, I have been traumatized and it's affected my identity because I felt like a prisoner of war. Can I tell you today that God wants to do something supernatural in your life? If that's you today, no one's seen your hand but me, would you just lift your hand and go, no, I have some traits of trauma in my life as a result of this last year. Lift your hand today. Come on, be honest. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. God, in the name of Jesus today, I pray over every person. God, those online and those in person today. God, we declare today that we are prisoners of hope. What the enemy has meant for harm, you will use for our good and your glory. God, today we step in to hope. We step in to purpose in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to close with this verse of scripture and they're going to sing a song. Romans 15:13 says this. It's a prayer that Paul prayed and I want to pray it over you. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Stand in a position to receive. God, I come with these words of Paul that are anointed and are powerful. Because the Holy Spirit is present in this room right now, and I of hope fill you with all joy. May he fill you with all peace as you trust in him. God, where joy has been taken, where peace has been taken, God, today I declare that you will return it doubly. God, as we put our trust in you today, our confidence in you today, God, that we would overflow. Everyone say overflow. God, I want to overflow. God, as that we will overflow with hope because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, work in our lives today. Would you bring hope like no other? Would you bring purpose like no other? Would you bring joy like no other? God, that today, January 17th, 2021, would be signified and impacted. God, it would go down as a landmark day in our lives when we declare that we are prisoners of hope. That when circumstances come this week, God, we will not be moved. We will not be shaken. We will not be traumatized, in Jesus' name. Lift your voice as they sing it today.
Today, amen. Praise. We leave today clinging to the words, Jesus, you're my hope. Jesus, only you, and you're my anchor. I pray that today's word would plant deep in your hearts and that you would live it out. Results would come this week because of the word that was planted today. Amen. Amen.
Here at Relevant Life Church, it's our mission to see people connect with God, relate to one another, and reach our world. This single statement drives everything we do as a church. Our hope is that today you were encouraged in this. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.